Hey there, welcome to Line Number 64. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle. Today, we're going to be tackling the lie that you have to do everything alone. My special guest is Kelsey Chapman. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I love this conversation because I don't think it's a conversation we have enough about mentorship. So the lie that we're tackling is you have to do everything alone. And Kelsey wrote an entire book on mentorship and what it's about and how important mentorship is. And what does it mean for us to be mentors ourselves to other women, but also how other people can lead us, guide us, and teach us so many things. Now, maybe you're like, I don't need a mentor, or I'm not going to be a mentor to somebody else. So this podcast isn't for me. But this podcast is really for anyone who needs encouragement in any area of their life. I mean, we can have mentors and they can be friends where we have friendship mentors or relationship mentors or, you know, parenting. Like, there are people in our life that are ready and willing to speak life into our lives that maybe are one, two, or three steps ahead of us. So Kelsey is an amazing author with her first book, which is what we're talking about today. She's a podcaster and she is just a personal cheerleader to women building their life and their business. I love how she shares that her mentors really helped shape her character so that she could become the CEO and leader she is today. She's excited about paying it forward and really being somebody that she cheerleads for you because she believes you can turn your wildest dreams into reality. And I love just how much Jesus has been working through her life with mentors. So let's go ahead and get to the interview. Kelsey, you just released the book called What They Taught Me. I wanted to make sure I said it right, so I like held it up. It has a beautiful cover, and the subtitle is Recognizing the Mentors Who Will Take You From Dream to Done. I love this topic, and because I've never read anything like it, which I think makes you so unique about mentors and what they do teach us and how to find one. But most importantly, I want to hear, and I'm sure the listeners want to hear too, maybe what season were you in before writing the book that caused you to write the book?
Well, I'm just a girl who loves women investing in women, or really humans investing in humans. And so I think the season I was in, I had run really hard for a really long time and was in a pretty extreme season of burnout right before I started writing that book. And I had invited two voices into my life and my business. I'd always had mentors. I was the kid who wanted to sit at the adult table growing up. Like, I've always, you know, recognized, ooh, they know something and I want to know what they know, for as truly as far back as I can remember. I think that's just how I'm wired. But in that season, I was really burnt out. I know that I love input and I knew I needed input in my business and in my life because it was getting to be really unsustainable. As we were talking about before we went on air, this culture we're in business is more faster, better now, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Higher. And so I'd invited these women, Amber and Anna, into my life as business mentors. And I was starting to recover. I was starting to recover from the extreme burnout I'd been operating in for the year leading up to that. And so when I started writing, I just started thinking about what lessons have been invested in me. And I first started with my story in chapter one, Linnell. And I wasn't even thinking about my business lessons when I sat down to write, but that was the season I was in. And Linnell's story just flowed out of me. I didn't really intend to write a book on mentorship, but when her story kind of came out on paper, I was like, oh, I have women like this in a lot of areas of my life. And if I think about it, I have friends ask me, How do you have so many mentors? Why are these women investing in you? How did you get them to say yes? And I realized it was a little more unique than someone's typical lived experience. And so I started writing these stories in hopes that it could be normalized for readers, so that they too could go out and ask people to invest in them so that we could go further together. And it really just all snowballed from there. But man, when I started writing this, I was totally recovering from a season of extreme burnout.
Mm-hmm. And I want the listeners to know too that this isn't just a business mentor book. You really talk about mentors from best friends, moms. You know, you go from all like the relationship, the family aspect. And so this is definitely not just, you know, if you want a business mentor, it's just mentor. Why don't we just actually describe what that means to you? What is a mentor?
Totally. So, you know, a mentor is like a guide. If we're thinking of, you know, the story brand framework, which some people may or may not be familiar with that. I think it's a really fascinating marketing concept. But if we think of the story brand framework, everyone wants to be the hero of their own life. But really, there's a guide that always gets the hero over the hump. Every movie, every marketing campaign, every commercial, political campaigns, we see this framework in everything we consume. Books have the hero's journey, and there's a hero and there's a guide. And so if we're the hero of our own life, we have agency, power to live the life we want to live. I think it's better and more likely achieved when we have a guide helping us to get there. And so the mentors that I've invited into my life are my guides. They've helped me walk hand in hand, step by step, towards the life I want. Are they crushing it in every area of life? No, they're humans who are imperfect and flawed. But I recognize that they were crushing it in one area of life and really thriving in that area. And so I would ask, can you give me input on how to cultivate that in my own life? Mm-hmm. Are they going to give me perfect advice 100% of the time? No way. Again, they're humans. But through proximity and through being close to them and learning lessons along the way of a friendship, I am taking in lessons that shortcuts the distance to the life I want. And so if I want a fulfilled, connected marriage, and I invite Karen in to tell me how she's navigated that for 40 years, she can take 10-year lessons for her and distill them into a 1-year lesson for me. Count me in. You know, I want the most full, free, joyous, wholesome life. And if I cannot have to learn the long, hard way, count me in. And so my mentors have helped me do that. I certainly have my long, hard lessons that took me 10 years to learn, but the goal there is for me to turn around and pass that on to a girl a few steps behind me so that maybe she doesn't have to learn the hard way. And I think that's how we go further together. You know, that really is community. My mentors have allowed me to stand on their shoulders to reach higher. And I am so grateful for their guidance. And I think too, you know, you can get some of the same lessons out of friendships, but I think a mentor specifically gets to be a sounding board in your life that you are inviting their feedback. You are inviting their input. And sometimes it's sweet, sappy love, and sometimes it's tough love, but you're inviting their input, whether it's affirming or harsh on any given day, so that you can grow. It's with an intention to grow and to be better and to get to your destination faster.
Something I love that you talk about in the book is the other side of mentorship. I think when we hear mentor, we want to find somebody to take care of us. And, you know, like you just explained, like not take care of us, but nurture our thoughts, help us get from point A to point B, something that they've already done, right? We might be 1, 2, 3 steps behind. What I love that you address in the book, though, is the waiting versus the initiation. So can you talk about both sides? Because sometimes we wait for the mentorship or we pray for it, which is absolutely, totally fine. You know, we might need a mentor in marriage or business or friendships, but then there's the other side that we kind of forget. So let's talk about waiting versus initiation.
Oh, yes. So, you know, again, if you're looking for a specific type of mentor, yes, pray them in, but it's still on you to reach out to them once they walk into your life. They can't read your mind and just it's unlikely they'll walk into your life and say, I want to be your mentor. That's great if that happens. Every once in a while it does, but typically unlikely. It's going to take some initiative on your end. And so, yes, pray them in. But then once you meet them and decide this is someone I'd like to be my mentor, you have to ask. And I'm telling you, I recognize that that is uncomfortable. I have been the girl who walks up to Harriet at a cookout and says, can we meet for coffee? You know, I use Harriet as an example there quite often because she was probably the biggest ask. You know, everyone else, it fell into place a little more naturally. Hers was maybe the most unnatural, where I literally said, will you mentor me? And that felt strange. You know, she kind of was like, why? and so I think it's uncomfortable. I joke all the time that finding a mentor is kind of like the very worst parts of dating. Like, you're putting yourself out there all over again. You might meet some duds along the way. Not everyone's going to be your match, but the reward is so worth the risk that you might feel in putting yourself out there.
I think sometimes we seek though for ourselves, but we forget, and I love you talk about this in the book too, that we are a mentor to others. Because we're always sometimes searching for the mentors for us. So let's talk about the other side as well of how we are actually a mentor to other people. Because I think a lot of women might say, but I don't have anything to offer. What am I going to help women through? So do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, my encouragement there is start before you're ready. If you are waiting for the day to feel like you've arrived and that you are now ready to pass along your profound wisdom to someone, you're probably never going to feel like that. I don't know about you, but I do not feel like I've arrived in life. And if I were waiting to be perfect before I could mentor someone, I still wouldn't be there. But the way I take the pressure off is I look at the women who mentored me. Were they perfect? No. Had they arrived? They didn't think they'd arrived at, you know, I as the mentee admired where they were at in life, but they would probably assess their life and see room for improvement too. Yet in their imperfection, yet in the fact that they hadn't arrived, I was still learning from them, and their impact and their wisdom forever changed me. And so if I look at what I learned from imperfect, ordinary women, the extraordinary lessons I learned, it reminds me that, oh, I can still pass along something powerful in my imperfection, even when I don't feel like I've gotten to my final destination yet. And so I think that just helps take the pressure off and helps me remember that no one is expecting me to come to the table with life figured out. They're just expecting me to come to the table and share what I know and share what's worked for me and what hasn't. And I think of it as like a trail. I've been using this illustration and it just happened recently, so it's just fitting for the season. But I was on a trail with a friend, Emily, who is a super experienced hiker and I'm not. And she wasn't a mile ahead of me, although she could have been a mile ahead of me. She's experienced enough. She was right there, 5 steps ahead of me. And she could say, hey, veer right. There's a stump here. You might trip over it and like twist your ankle, or, hey, this is really muddy right here. You know, swerve left and you'll miss it. And I like to use that illustration for mentorship, because when you're the person up front leading, you might not be a mile or 5 miles or 5 years ahead of someone. You might be a month out from learning that last lesson, but you can say, hey, swerve right. Danger ahead. Let me show you the best course to fullness and freedom and joy. I'll tell you what I know. I don't know everything, but I'll tell you where to veer right and where to veer left. And so again, you don't have to have it all figured out or be perfect. You just have to be willing to be present and share what you know. And a lot of my mentors, I don't remember exactly what they taught me all the time, although, you know, I wrote their lessons in a book. But as you read the book, you'll probably see a through line of, I remember they were consistent and present and willing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge, because I was just thinking, we just have to get over ourselves, right? Like, we are so close to our mistakes and our past and the things that we do on a regular basis. And I always say too, we're always so close to our gifts because it comes so easy that we don't think that it matters, because, oh, well, this is just so easy. And then you start talking to somebody and you're like, well, doesn't this come easy to you? And they're like, no. And then you realize.
Exactly. I mean, I love that. That's perfectly said. You know, not everything that comes easy to us comes easy to someone else. And so something that you might minimize and think, well, everyone knows that. That was Harriet. She was like, well, why would you want me to mentor you? She didn't realize that what comes so naturally to her is something that would take intentional cultivation in my life. And I just wanted to be around her to learn how she did it. I didn't expect her to boil it down into talking points or lessons. I just wanted to watch from a front row seat. And so through mentorship, I was given that with her.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit more toward the middle end of the book. And you kind of talk about pain and walking through pain and how things happen, you know, relationships and mentors, and it might be messy. And I always think, you know, the depth that we love people will be the depth that we also feel pain, because love, people are imperfect. So pain will be involved.
Yeah.
How can we embrace both love and pain together?
Ooh, girl. Well, you are speaking my language. I mean, I love hard, but man, this has not been a pain-free life for me. You know, when people will say, just let it go, let them go if they're causing you pain. Well, it's not that simple, you know? And so in the mentorship context, you're letting people into your life, whether you're the mentee or the mentor. So you're opening yourself up to pain. Human connection does not come without pain at some point. There's no way. We're all imperfect people. So how could we not hurt each other at some point along the way? But I will tell you, the reward that connection brings in your life is so worth the pain you might endure. And I'm talking, I've had mentors give me bad advice. I've had mentors flake on me. I've had mentees not take my advice and end up in a lot of pain. And it was painful to watch as a mentor. And so I have experienced it from every angle, but the reward is still worth those harder parts of your story and your journey. I promise you 100 times over.
Yeah. I think with pain, well, one, our way our bodies have created us to protect us from pain, right? We want to run like, hey, we were here before, don't do it. But I think when we get in relationships, whether romantic, friendships, mentorships, whatever it is, we think that when there's pain, then something's wrong with them. Or, okay, I just got to leave because pain. And friendship should endure, you know, conversations that, hey, you hurt me, or that hurt my feelings, or whether it was, like I said, friendships, relationship, mentorship. I think pain always leads to wholeness. It always leads to something. Maybe you guys communicated better if you're willing to communicate, right? And you talk about how you walk through that, you know, in the book. And I think that's just so, it's so precious to know that she upset me or this person upset me, but also, can we talk about this? You know, and get through it without it. Cause girls, we know girls, come on, women, we can be super catty, super catty, you know, about, well, she did this to me. And we put our hand on her hip and we kind of just want to run away and you ain't going to hurt me again. But to say you're never going to hurt me is to also say you'll never love. So.
Totally. Yeah. Like, okay. Like you can shut yourself off to that, but you're also shutting yourself off to a lot of powerful connection that could totally change your life.
Mm-hmm. Something that I wrote down from your book was, I love how you focus on connection more than correction. And you kind of said it a little bit, or I like alliteration. So that was like, made me really happy to write that. But I kind of see it throughout your book too. And you said a little bit earlier how it wasn't about them being perfect or the steps or writing bullet points or having a slideshow. It was, you saw the consistency of them showing up, asking questions, helping you. So let's talk about connection versus the correction.
Totally. You know, all of my mentors, I give them a voice to correct me. Like they have that voice in my life. I want tough love sometimes because I want to grow and I want to be better. But we all know, it's kind of like if you think of parenting, you can tell your kid to not touch the hot stove, but once they finally touch it and it hurts a little, they're not going to touch it again. And so I think the most powerful mentors are those who serve as a sounding board and don't correct every single thing you do. And they are there and they're present and they're consistent. They're offering the best route forward, the most efficient, effective path to success that they learned, but they're also willing to let you learn the hard way sometimes. And then they're there to help you pick up the pieces, and they're consistent because it's unlikely that we as the mentee are just going to apply everything they teach us perfectly, never run into any roadblocks, always take the clearest cut path forward like that. It's just unlikely. We sometimes have to learn for ourselves. And so I've found the most powerful mentors have not told me exactly what to do. They've told me how to do it and then let me figure it out. You know, I love this saying about, like they say it about college. College doesn't tell you what to think. It teaches you how to think. And I think that's a great mentor too, because we need to learn the lessons for ourselves, but we need the tools on how to navigate those lessons and how to go about them. And I think a mentor provides that. Because I also have been on the other side of a mentor that totally projected her story onto me. She wanted her lesson to apply to me so bad that she wouldn't let it go. And she was wrong. And so I think it's important, if you're in the role of a mentor too, to let go of control with your mentee and let them learn, but be present, be there, help them course correct when they invite you in. But also be willing to let them learn the hard way.
Yeah, it's so true, because I think as believers, we want to be fixers for Jesus, right? Like, we want to just, all right, I have a really cool scripture for you. I'm going to help you through this. And this is a little bit about what my fourth book is about, but I've seen this a lot of, you know, we either want to tell people to feel all the feelings without giving them guidance, or we say, okay, it doesn't matter what you feel, but here's what the truth is. And I think both go together. And
I agree.
I love how you're saying with mentorship, it's kind of that same thing. It's just the beauty of, here's what I'm experiencing. Right. I'm going to tell you all of, here's where I mess up in marriage. Here's where I mess up, you know, and then them coming alongside you to say, oh God, yeah, totally get that. Totally understand. Here's how I did it, leading you to truth. Right. It wasn't like, okay, yep, that's the past. Don't worry about it. It's just this idea of how they both marry together in a beautiful way. And I think that's like exactly what you're saying of correction versus connection. Of the goal is the connection, because with the connection will bring transformation.
Totally. Ah, that's beautifully said. Yeah. Like, we all know what it's like for someone to just tell us what to do. It doesn't always land, right? You know, we don't retain it, but out of connectedness, if they give you guidance on what to do, but still help you arrive at your own conclusions, because the goal here too is a mentor doesn't just delegate decision-making for your own personal life. Like, they're not telling you exactly how to live. The goal is they're giving you guidance so that you can live with agency and be a powerful person and make powerful decisions in cultivating the life you want. And so this is not to outsource decision-making for your life. This is to invite input so that you have a sounding board every step of the way.
Yeah. So good. Well, as we wrap up and I'm holding your book in my hands, what was your favorite, probably most piece of advice that you literally say to yourself over and over again that you've heard from a mentor?
I mean, I think of my aunt's phrase that I close up the book with, that, you know, I started out life like sandpaper, and by the end, I want to be so worn down and all my rough edges polished off to where I'm so smooth, smooth as velvet. And I think inviting people's voices in helped me get there faster. I don't mean worn down in a negative way, but I want all those rough edges sanded off to where I'm so smooth as velvet as I get to the latter part of my life. And so I think of that analogy a lot. She said that probably 10 years ago, and I think of it frequently, because I think just inviting people in helped me get there. How do I grow, become better, become more connected to other people, become more present? How do I show up for this one life that I have and with the best foot forward? And I think inviting input and feedback in helps you do that. And so I think of that phrase first and foremost.
I love the sandpaper. We always talk about sandpaper people, right? But I love that you kind of took it a different way of, we are rough around the edges, right? Like we have reactions. We want to be angry. We want to be bitter. We want to carry resentment. And that's kind of what I thought when you said sandpaper of, I got some edges that are pretty rough, right? I'm carrying some things that I want to smooth out and be able to live by the fruit of the spirit, right? With love, with kindness, with gentleness. So that was, I love that analogy that you used. Something that I love to ask though, to every guest is, what lie often comes for you that you have to speak truth to? It doesn't have to deal with anything we talked about today, but what lie are you struggling with maybe right now that you have to combat the truth to?
Probably that I should have done more. I should have accomplished more. I should have been more present for my family. I should have done more comes up in so many areas of my life. And I think in this season, I'm just learning to be.
Yeah.
That I am valuable without doing or accomplishing, whether that's doing for people, accomplishing in my career, doing for my husband. You know, I went to the beach a few weeks ago and it was the first time I didn't touch my email for 5 days in 5 years.
Amen.
And it was amazing. And I could even see a little spark in my husband of like, he knows, like, I've built this business so that I can be with our kids more present one day. But in the process, I've sacrificed being present right now. And he's so grateful for all that I do and accomplish to build the life I want for us in 5 years, you know? But I forget sometimes that I'm missing the right now. And I can see the connectedness from me just being present. I wasn't doing a thing. And he loved it. He doesn't love me for what I accomplished. He loves me for being. But I'm so bad at just being and believing that I am valuable without doing. And so I think that's my big lie, is that I should be doing more, accomplishing more.
I think so many women can relate to that, because I know I was like, amen, like, woo, especially I feel like the enemy says more. I feel like that's his language. Right? It's, you should be doing more. And if you rest, you're not productive. And what I learned is that just takes away God from doing his work. So when I'm resting, I'm like, okay, God, you're going to have to, you're working today. You know, like, you caused the increase, not me. And resting is just so beautiful. So I'm excited. Make sure you guys go get Kelsey's book, and I'll make sure to include the links in the show notes below. So thank you again, Kelsey, for your time and your wisdom. I just appreciate you so much.
Ah, thank you for having me. It's truly been a joy to be here. I love talking about all things mentorship, and it was just a gift to be with you today.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Kelsey. I loved our interview together. And before we started the interview, we actually talked for about an hour just about life and mentorship and people in our lives and business and being an author. You're really going to love Kelsey. Make sure you go find her on Instagram, go buy her new book, and really dive into this idea that no matter where we are, no matter what stage of life we're in, we can also be a mentor to somebody else. And we might not call it a mentor. Maybe it's just being a friend, but you have gifts and talents and things that people need. So your voice is valuable, and leading others with love is so needed right now. If you were encouraged at all by this episode, I'd love for you to just take a moment to leave a rating and review. It helps spread the word about what's the truth and get it out there so that other women like you can tune in and learn about their true worth and identity in Christ. As always, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.